This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 1:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. I know tons of texts here, and probably this conversation will go forward for quite a while about the plans being announced today for a start over with the Civic Center to bulldoze it and start again with it. So we'll watch this. There's something we've been talking about for a decade or more out there. I've been telling you about my friends at Blue Water Yacht Sales and Kelsey in parts. Because those of us that do our own work on our engines, she's like a savant when it comes to parts. But if you're going to step up to the next level and looking for that new boat, if it's time for a new boat, Blue Water Yacht Sales right now has all their 2024 offshore and inshore manufacturers offering special incentives. This goes on now through the end of this month. So it's the end of March when this is over. Blue Water selling finest center console brands like Regulator, Jupiter, Solus, Albemarle, Bulls Bay Boats for inshore fishing. They're on sale right now, and you combine that with the extended warranty deal on Yamaha, and you're ready for years of enjoyment. Go see all the boats, the new ones for sale at Blue Water Yacht Sales on the I-65 Beltline or Orange Beach Marina. They're online at bluewateryachtsales.net. So deals now through the end of March on those brands. And then, of course, if you're doing your own work, Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service, the service department, if you're getting them to do the service work or you're buying products to work on those Yamaha or Mercury engines, go by and see my friend Forrest and the gang at Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. All right. I mentioned earlier that we would have a conversation with AL2 Republican runoff candidate Caroline Dobson, who's joining us now. I have interrupted some skeet shooting to get her on. Thanks for, although you said you have your husband shooting instead of you.
Well, because I had to leave early to get to visit with you. But yes, we were excited to exercise our Second Amendment rights this afternoon at a skeet shoot for the District Attorney's Foundation. So a good activity and a good cause. You can't beat that.
Although you suffer from a problem that one of my children does too. Politics.
I'm right-handed and I'm left-eye dominant, so I am not always. I'm very inconsistent. Sometimes I have great days, and then other times I am a detriment to the team. So my husband's pretty much always on point. So I was happy to let him shoot in my stead, but enjoyed getting to be there in the fellowship.
You know, just a side note: the fact, y'all, that you just said what you said, let me know that you actually do shoot. And I'm not going to, not getting in, nobody who's left in the mix, but there are so many, I've driven crazy over the years with political ads in Alabama for Republicans, and I see things with guns. I'm like, that person's never held a gun. They're
right.
Posed up.
Yeah, it's like an AR, one's holding an AR and another's holding a shotgun. And you're like, in what context would you be using both of these at the same time,
Oh, my gosh, I'm glad to hear you say that.
We do have ARs because feral hogs, I think we've discussed this before on this show, feral hogs are a big problem in District 2. But today, we were with our shotgun appropriately.
It's just great to have that conversation. We go, okay, this person does have, they're not posing. So it's good to have that. All right, you made it through. We have not talked since the primary. You made it into the runoff with such a crowded field. I don't think many of us were surprised there were a runoff. But looking back now at your performance on primary day and where you're going in the runoff, what are y'all talking about? What are you talking about to people out there who are going to make a second decision on the Republican nominee?
Well, I'm so grateful for everyone who came out on March 5th to vote for me, because 4 months ago, almost exactly, I was just a normal private citizen, a small town girl, wife, mom, lawyer, that was working hard to raise her kids with her husband here in District 2. And so I think, the fact that out of 8 candidates, and again, having 0 name ID, I was able to be one of the top 2 is hugely indicative of the fact that people are fed up with career politicians. They're fed up with people that are more concerned about, their egos and their special interest groups than they are about the future of our kids and the future of District 2.
How do you take that energy, if you were elected, how do you take that energy to Washington and make a difference?
Well, I think the important part is remembering who you're accountable for. 2. You know, I'm accountable to God, and I'm accountable to the people of District 2. And that's, at the end of the day, what you've got to stay focused on. And, you know, if I do have the opportunity to go to Washington and represent the folks in South Alabama, my husband and I are committed to raising our daughters here in Alabama. And I think, you know, you see a lot of, you know, the career politician types that just move to Washington and never come back or come back for a week. But, you know, my home is here, and that's why I'm running, because I want my kids to have a future here. And my roots are here. I'm so proud to be from here. And I think it's staying prioritized on actually getting something done and delivering results to the people of District 2.
You know, if you had already been elected and you were in Washington, you would have been part of that vote yesterday. There's a lot of people talking this TikTok ban. And here in the AL1, where we have sitting Congressman Jerry Carl and most likely who will be the congressman for AL1, Barry Moore, splitting the vote. Jerry Carl voting for the ban, Barry Moore voting against the ban. So, Carolyn Dobson, how would you have voted yesterday?
To HB 686, it's, you know, my problem with the approach is, you know, of course we have to get rid of TikTok. It is a direct line of communication and a direct avenue of intel of the American people to China. So I am glad that we are focused on that. However, we have got to protect our children, ensure that our children are kept safe from the harms of social media. I'm so grateful now that I did not have to grow up with social media and just having to navigate that as a parent. Is even though my kids don't have social media yet, it still gives me a lot of anxiety. So I think, you know, this bill needed to do a better job protecting our children and also ensuring that conservative thought is not censored. You know, that is with any of these, I think it's very easy for the left to take advantage of the fact that, you know, the right fairly does not want TikTok. But we need to make sure that any bill that bans TikTok cannot be used to censor conservative thought.
Because there's a lot of fear out there. Some people, and I've heard from them today in the first hour, that said, all right, well, maybe you can make a case for TikTok, but that means X or Twitter is next, you know, or they're just going to. And I asked this question, is it Patriot Act 2? Is it Patriot Act 2.0, where you vote through the Patriot Act because people were in a time of fear and there's a clear and present danger and it said to address this, but then it has been widened in scope?
Mm-hmm. No, and I mean, just in general, with all of I've spoken about it before, but we are suffering from executive overreach. And one of my first priorities, if I have the opportunity to represent District 2, would be to codify the regulatory Bill of Rights. But, you know, we saw this with the IRS where they were targeting. So it's not just, you know, conservative thought on social media. It's conservative association. Freedom of association is being violated. But we really see the executive agency under Biden trying to wrap its tentacles around every instance of conservative movement in this country, and it's terrifying. And that's why, you know, we not only have to get Trump back in the White House this fall, but we've got to keep control of the House, and that's why this race is so important. And it's attainable, you know, with a 161 vote difference between the total number of Democrats and the total number of Republicans that turned out last Tuesday. It's a lot closer than a D+4 district we were originally told by the mainstream media to believe.
Yeah, it is interesting. I wonder, I mean, this is the prognostication. And there's a lot of times that you hear people make these predictions, and then when they don't come true, you don't hear from them again. I try to make a note, but that different things on the ballot, you know, instead of just saying, okay, you know, we're looking at right now in a primary setting, you and your opponent in the primary head to head. But then they'll say, well, yeah, but in the general, if it's this person, because there's other things on the ballot that may switch the votes this way. You know what I'm talking about? This projection. You know, general, and then like reverse engineering that. Your thoughts on that as you run a campaign?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, Trump is polling higher than he ever has with some typically Democrat groups. I mean, certainly he's got the base excited and frankly desperate. We've got to save our country, but he's also polling higher than ever with younger voters, with Black voters, with Hispanic voters. So I think Trump is definitely going to drive folks to the polls. But it's also, you know, in this race, too, it's going to take a candidate who's willing to get out there and work and knock on every door. It's going to take a true conservative. And I'm the only candidate in the runoff who has not bashed President Trump. I'm supportive of President Trump in this election, and I will work with President Trump to fix our country. But yeah, you know, if you have Trump driving folks to the poll, and then you have a candidate in CD2 who has openly antagonized Trump, as my opponent has, you know, not clear that even though Trump will carry Alabama, CD2 will stay red.
Yeah, as we talk about the geography, and we can lament, but those days are in the rearview of the new drawing of the districts here for AL1 and AL2. But as we look at it, there is a little bit of us, I'd say, down here in this part of the district, trying to hold on to the idea that somebody that gets us would be elected, right? There, I mean, there's the jingoistic, you know, I call myself a homer feel to this, that people are worried about that, you know, forever we've had somebody from right here, you know, that just down the street. So what do you tell folks down here in this part of the district when they ask you questions about that?
Yeah, well, you know, I grew up in Monroe County, in rural Monroe County, and for all of my life, we were part of District 1, too. And our future, I grew up knowing that the future of South Alabama was tied to Mobile and looking south to the future. I worked for Joe Bonner when I was in college, and I was so grateful to have leaders like Sonny Callahan, like Joe Bonner, Bradley Byrne, in, you know, people that got South Alabama and understood that we have got to have an advocate in Washington for the people of South Alabama. So since I filed, I've spent at least 2 days a week in Mobile. I'm in Mobile today. I've spent 4 days a week this week in Mobile, because so much of the opportunity for not only District 2, but for the state, and frankly the nation, the second fastest growing port in the nation, is here in Mobile. If you look at, you know, some of the issues that folks are most concerned about, the economy, okay, well, one of the keys to solving the economy is ensuring that the port thrives and grows and its intermodal capabilities are utilized. If you're worried about the state of our military, okay, also Airbus, the defense industry is here, Coast Guard. So, again, a lot of these, you know, concerns that are prevalent throughout the district are played out here in Mobile, and the opportunities for addressing a lot of our national crises lie here in Mobile. So I've really, again, I cannot say that I am a Mobilian or that I grew up in Mobile, but I grew up understanding the significance of Mobile. And since I filed to run in this race, I was the first Republican to file in this race. Since I filed, I have dedicated a lot of time here to learn about the issues, because there are so many really niche-specific industries here. Federal snapper regulations, for instance, you've got to have someone who is focused on ensuring that that I'm advocating for you know, all the many, many industries and businesses and opportunities here in Mobile.
People want to get more information about your travel schedule when they can see, because I see people going, let's see, Preston said, I wish I had the honor to vote for Ms. Dobson. I guess he's in AL1, but he'd like to meet you. How can they keep up with where to meet you?
Yes, if you go to www.dobsonforcongress, that's D-O-B as in Bravo, S-O-N-F-O-R, congress.com. I'm also on X, Instagram, and Facebook, Dobson for Congress, and there's more information about, you know, where I'll be and you know, op-eds and campaign updates as well.
Good stuff. I look forward to getting you in studio again soon.
Yes, no, that'd be great. Please vote on April 16th.
Here we go. Caroline Dobson joining us right here on Midday Mobile. We're coming right back. News is next.